didn't hear the word enough, so I just kind of want to read it in my Amplified Bible. Maybe I needed to hear this morning. The words of Jesus talking about a little bit about worry. I've been hearing about worry and stress and anxiety but you know, worry is like overeating. That's one of those sins you can get by with, isn't it? Uh-oh. Did I say the wrong thing? But if you're not worrying, do you care? Okay, I'm just going to read the Word of God to y'all this morning. And it says, that's right. Why should you be anxious? Uh-oh. I got to start right here. Jesus said this. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. What you shall eat and what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on it. Because is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Therefore, I tell you, okay, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? Wait a minute. Now let me say it again. Are you not worth much more than they? Amen. All right. So who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure to his stature or to the span of his life? Is worry going to make any difference whatsoever in what I need? So why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, his excellence and dignity and grace, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely... Uh-oh. Can you say surely? Oh, come on. Surely. That means it's established, right? Sure is an established promise. Surely. Clothe you, O ye of little faith. So therefore, do not worry and be anxious. Say, oh, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to have to wear?
Amen. That's
for the Gentiles. Wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them.
Amen. He does.
But we don't seek them. What do we seek? Come on, you can quote that with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things. I don't know about you, but I came this morning to seek the Lord. And I know that because I seek him, everything else is going to fall right in line. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and worship the Lord today. All right.
Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name. You are so amazing and we bless your name. Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name more than anything.
You are amazing beyond compare, Lord Almighty, King of Kings. I will be praising you everywhere. You are faithful in everything, magnificent in all your ways. Forever we will Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name. You are so amazing. Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name more than anything. Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name. You are so amazing and we bless your name. Lord, we love to worship and to bless your name more than anything.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, Lord! Hallelujah, Lord! Marvelous are you, excellent and true in everything you do.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, Lord!
We love to worship and to bless your name.
Hallelujah!
You are so amazing and
that the more our strength's going to rise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait.
Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. The everlasting God. Hallelujah. And I thank God that today, this morning was a brand new day when I got up. I didn't have to worry about yesterday. It's gone. It's gone. But today I get a brand new life and a brand new start. Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a merciful day. All my sins are wiped away. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a merciful day. I'm not bound by yesterday. Amen.
Thank you.
God, we worship and praise you. It is a merciful day, Father God. We honor you and we thank you for your favor. Father God, I thank you that as we seek you first and all your righteousness and all these things are going to come to pass in our lives because we want you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you and magnify you. Every need met, everyone delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As we pray and we worship and magnify you. You're so great and so awesome, Father God. We honor your name this morning. Hallelujah. 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 The splendor of the King clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light and dark who tries to hide. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Come on, church. Oh, we praise you and we magnify you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray wherever you are today. You know, Ricardo, I believe Miss Emily. I thought of this song this morning. Our neighbor died, and she loved Ricardo and Miriam, all of us, been Jerry's neighbor for years. She knew this message. Amen.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory.
I will.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And you know, one thing more that we need to say is the greatest thing that we have to look forward to is when the Lord Jesus looks it up and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's our reward. All this other stuff's just added blessings. That's just part of belonging to him as we seek him first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
To see your face on that day is all I'm living for.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just pray that's where you are today. That's all. But you know, that's all you need. That's all you're living for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise and worship team. Hallelujah. We pray for Ricardo as he and Miriam go to another church now and minister. That anointing's going to go with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Gonna
what?
Dismiss or
not
or
right
pray
now.
First. Not yet. Okay.
Not right now, not just yet. Hallelujah. There's one thing about us, we're very informal. And you know, I think it's a whole lot more important what God does than it is what we do. And I got a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning. We've got several prayer requests. We've got a bunch of them. But wow, almost two pages. But I want to share with you. I have something to confess. I have something that I want to go on record as repenting to you of. And I know that most people understand that there are cause and effects in our lives. And we fluctuate, we rise, we fall, depending on what we allow to work in us. And recently, there's been some things working in me. Some physical symptoms. And the interesting part about it is, and I told you this, that I went to the cardiologist and they did their examination on me, and he said, from a cardiac point of view, you got a long time to be around here. It looked fine. I still had symptoms. Matter of fact, I had an appointment, a follow-up from my family doctor, and I said, I'm just going to get all of this stuff out. So I made me a list of symptoms. I had 15 things that were affecting me physically. Some of them you could tell from the way they had to be related. So I shared them with the doctor, and he said, well, it sounds like this, and it sounds like this, and it sounds like this. And he said, we need to get some blood work. And I said, that's fine. Okay, let's get blood work. So I went to the hospital Friday morning for the blood work, and I thought I was going to have a transfusion before I got out of there. They just took blood and took blood and took blood. 4 vials of it. And they ran their tests, and I got a call from the doctor's office Friday afternoon. And they left a message on her answer machine, said, call the doctor. I thought, oh boy. So when I got the message, I finally got in touch with them up at the doctor's office. And the lady told me, she said, well, all of your blood work is fine. Okay, so what are we missing? And knowing some of the things that I know, how many of you know things that you don't pay attention to? I mean, you've heard sermons that went in one ear and out the other. People could ask you questions about certain things and you can answer them for them. But the same thing happens to you and you don't have a clue. Or you have a clue, but you think, no, that's not me. Well, anyway, interesting timing on all of this. Considering that a BN Health Conference had been planned for this weekend. Well, something interfered with me Friday afternoon, and I had some physical symptoms, throwing up. I mean, just all of a sudden just went from not anything bothering me to just sick. And so I went through a few hours of that and got over it. Oh, well, this must not be a virus or nothing like that. One of them 24-hour bugs. It must be a 3-hour bug. I don't know. And so, but anyway, I didn't get to go to the BN Health meeting, but Laverne came home, and she was just telling me, just talking about stuff and about what she had heard. And so yesterday, and I want to say this. Yesterday, considering the amount of time that we spent in seminars, yesterday was a relatively, as far as put in your mind, you know, you relate to things. It was just a short day. I mean, it started at 9 o'clock yesterday morning and finished at 10 last night. But it was a short day. Now, we had some breaks in there. But, and the thing, when they started sharing the different things, I thought, you know, I remember this. I remember sharing this. I remember preaching messages about the presence of the enemy and how he works on us through the forces that we give in to. To the point, preaching sermons, one man said one day, and I preached that sermon, he said, I felt like I took a bath in electricity. But I also made the statement, too, that I said, when I was in high school, I took Algebra 1, Algebra 2, plane geometry, trigonometry, college trigonometry. I took all of that stuff. I graduated from college in 1969. And when I graduated from college, I knew that stuff. But I got to tell you, don't bring any problem like that and put it in front of me and say, work this. You know why? Because I haven't paid any attention to that stuff for 30 years. We learn the things of the kingdom of God. We think that we've got them all down pat. We know exactly what we're doing. We know exactly how it works. And we say, okay, I can put that up. I can put that on the file drawer because, hey, I got that. And then a few years later, something shows up. We don't remember about the file drawer. We think, I remember dealing with this. But what do I do? And I'm gonna say this, and I don't even know what I'm saying, okay? Be truthful with you. I do not know exactly what I mean by what I'm getting ready to say. But I have a sense. Back in the first of the year when we relaunched, when we refurbished our ship, when we repaired our Pearl Harbor damages, and we got back in the water to wage warfare against the enemy, and we said that God was going to direct us, and we were launching a refurbished ship, and we were going to see what God did with us this year. I got the strong impression yesterday, all day long, it just kept coming back to me, that some way or other, what we have experienced this weekend with Being Health Conference has something to do with what we're going to be doing this year. And the thing about it is this. Don't decide on something before you've thought it through. Because, you know, within the kingdom of God, within the church, there are radical ideas. There are ideas that you cannot apply to the status quo. Some of them are ridiculous, and some of them are right. But you see, it is so easy to stay in the status quo and never really investigate the right or the wrong. You know, there's people in the body of Christ, speaking in tongues is something they are never going to investigate. They don't want to know anymore than what they already know. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, I've heard about it. It doesn't really fit in what we're doing, so I'm just trying to stay away from it. What do you mean it makes a difference what you say? Why, I didn't mean nothing when I said worries me to death. That's just talk. Well, you know, talk is talk. Actions are actions. Talk produces results. Actions produce results, either positively or negatively. But anyway, one of the things that I was brought back to face is that I am responsible for me. You're not responsible for me, I'm responsible for me. If I treat me right, it won't matter what you do to me. It won't matter what your opinion of me is. If I treat me right and I have my relationship with God right, and if I pursue Him. Now, what I'm repenting of and what I'm confessing to you is this. Without putting my finger on it and understanding exactly what it was that happened, over the past three years, I have allowed the enemy to use people's opinions of me to severely shake my self-confidence. I have never faltered in my confidence in God. God can do anything and God will do anything, but I kept hearing this thing in my head. Yeah, but you're the problem. You're in the way. You need to get out of the way. Now, it wasn't a you need to seek God and refurbish yourself and renew yourself. It wasn't that. It was you need to get out of the way. You need to quit taking up good ground. And I literally got to the point. And see, this is something that I knew was lingering out there, but you know, you can smell, you know, if you were stepping something or if you get, you can smell it and you think, something smell right. And you don't really, you think, well, this is not right. But you just kind of put up with it because you're not sure what it is you smell. You're not sure where it's coming from. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody's standing there in front of you and they say, you smell. Or maybe they just say, what is that odor? And you realize, I knew something was wrong. I knew that something was happening. But you finally had the opportunity to see it. Finally had the opportunity to understand it. And what I saw was me looking for a way to make what I was believing to be true come to pass. I actually, more than once, said, God, just let me die. And then everybody's problems will be solved. And you know, what it was me giving place to the devil. I literally got to the point where I wasn't sure who was supporting me. I almost got to the point where I thought everybody that I talked to was looking for some way to find something wrong with me. Now that may come as a shock to you. But I tell you what, unless we become aware and submit ourselves to the direction of the Spirit of God, we're all susceptible to it. And like I said, there was no relinquishing about God. There's no question about what God could do and what God would do. And I think, God, if you just get me out of the way, you can go ahead and do it. And yet when I would look at the situation, I would say, but I'm not doing anything bad. I don't deserve. There was a part of that was looking at what God had done in my life and was rising up and saying, "You don't deserve this." But there was that other voice saying, "Oh yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I'm going to tell you something. The favorite line of the enemy to hit you with, to destroy your confidence, to get you off of what God wants to do, is to say something like this. That's what you're really like. That's what you're really like. You think you're this, but this is what you're really like. And it's always an argument about what the Word of God says, as opposed to this argument over here saying that what the Word of God says doesn't make any difference. And the one thing that I saw yesterday all day at this conference, and I shared it with Brother Bill, the two things that are absolutely necessary for anything that we experienced yesterday to have an effect on you. Number one, you got to have an unshakable belief in the spirit world. You got to believe there's a God. You got to believe there's a devil. You got to believe there's angels. You got to believe there's demons. You've got to understand that there is a spiritual world that's bigger than anything that we see or experience in the physical world. As Elbert Willis said years ago, if you don't believe that spiritual things outweighs natural things, your body's never going to get out of the ground on Resurrection Day. And that's the one. That's one thing. The other thing that you have to absolutely believe is that God's Word is infallible and it has the answer to every problem that you can possibly have. That God knew what He was doing. And you know, do you think God wants you to survive? You think God wants you to make it? Something was said yesterday. And it's about all the stuff we hear about what's happening to the environment. Brother Bill made a statement. He said, well, you know, he said, I guess, and I'm paraphrasing, but maybe I'm not quoting. He said, you know, I guess that God all of a sudden, you know, came to the realization, man, I really messed up years ago. I never expected it to get this bad. I never expected man to do this. Here we are now. What am I going to do? Man's going to destroy himself. Well, you know, man might. Unregenerated man just runs his risk. But if we're children of God, God promised us we're going to make it. And I've been preaching here lately. Don't you get your confidence wrapped up in what's going to happen in the future to the United States. You better keep your confidence wrapped up in the kingdom of God. And, I repent for allowing the enemy to break me down, because I know it affected you. And I repent to you. And I'm expecting the power of God to rise up. I'm expecting the little, what do you call those things when you're testing some kind of whatever amount of energy something's putting out, you know, like your LED lights on how the volume on your little power sources. I expect to see those things going up. But here in a little bit, Brother Bill is going to come and he's going to share with you everything in 30 minutes that he took all day to share with us yesterday. No, what's going to happen is you're going to get a taste of what we got a whole plate full of yesterday. And then this afternoon there's going to be another session. That's why we're not having service here tonight, because by the time it ends, it'll be into the service time. It's supposed to end at 6, but it won't. And that's all right. Yeah, we're gonna do the prayer, but I want to call your attention to one other thing, and that's what I wrote in the bulletin this morning. And it will be posted on our website, so if anybody's out there, you'll be able to see it. So I'm not gonna read all of it, but I just wanna call your attention to where it says that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, and it's not within a man to direct his own steps. And if you read it, you read the story about the where they asked the people to walk across a snow-covered field and walk in a straight line, and only one man was able to walk in that straight line. And everybody said, "How did you do it?" And we couldn't. And he said, "Because as you walked, you watched your own feet. You watched your own feet, and you thought you were walking straight. But I picked out a spot on the other side of the field. I saw a post, and I walked towards that post." And as I was thinking about that, this little revelation came to me. And as you're looking there, it's talking about getting lost. And one of the things that there's something in the mind or the programming of a human that when they really get lost, I don't mean just not knowing where you're going because you took the wrong street, but I mean when you get lost to the point where you don't have a clue where you are. Without some outside source of direction, you will tend to go in a circle. Now, if you're in 100,000 acres of woods, your circle might be 20 miles long. It's not necessarily a small circle, or it could be 2 days later after traveling, you run across a trail and say, "Oh, I found somebody," but what you found was you, where you had been 2 days before. And they said, that's a big problem. And as I was thinking about that, this came to me. You know, there's a scripture in Hebrews 12. Says, "Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and has sit down at the right hand of God." What did he see when he came here? He saw his seat at the right hand of God. He didn't see the cross. He didn't see the shame. He didn't see the rejection. He didn't look at all that he knew was going to happen to him. He looked at what God had promised. And that's what we have to do. And when I talk about looking at Jesus, and I know Jesus lives in us. He lives in us. But he doesn't direct you by your own feet. He directs us by his word. And his word is already laid out. It's already planned. It's already there. The post is already set. The standard is already given. And we set our eyes on that. Or we wander because we're lost by watching our own feet. So here's the thing that the Lord said to me. There are people, there are a group of people that are on their way to heaven. And they have fixed their eyes on heaven. And they are progressing relatively well. Few setbacks, everybody has them. But they're progressing relatively well because they are moving in a direction that is heavenward. Few people. Going right along. Enjoying themselves. Going through trials, of course. But enjoying themselves because they know they're on the right track. And then there are people that belong to a group that they have so locked themselves onto the things of Satan. They have so given themselves to the things of hell that they have a vision of hell and they are moving toward it quite handily. Now, I don't think there's that many people that have gone to that point, but I do believe there are people out there, they've sold out to the devil, and unless some miracle happens, they're not going to turn. And I know miracles are possible, but you know what I'm saying. So you've got this group that's going to heaven because they're fixed on it. You got this group that's on their way to hell because they're fixed on it. But the majority of the world is just going around in circles. They don't really want to go to hell. They may want to go to heaven, but they're trying to get there by watching their own feet. They're trying to get there by going their way. And they keep running across their trail. I've been here before. All I've done is make a circle. Here I am back before. We use this example over the years. Take another trip around Mount Sinai. That's what the children of Israel did. They refused to believe God, and so they took trip after trip after trip for 40 years around that desert. And really, nothing changed. The people didn't move out of the land. They didn't wake up one morning, walk over to the Jordan and look across and say, hey, they finally left. No. Just finally got to the point where we're going in. And that's what we got to do. And that's what I've determined to do. I'm going to take my eyes off my feet. And I'm going to realize that I have to do what God called me to do, regardless of who it pleases and who it doesn't. And I'm not going to deliberately do anything to try to upset or irritate or aggravate anybody. But you and I are going to have to do what God shows us to do. We're going to have to do it God's way. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that causes the most, and I know he's going to talk about it, but this is the thing that I kept saying, the FAS, fear, anxiety, and stress. Fear, anxiety, and stress will lead to all manner of evil. All manners of evil. Now we're gonna pray, and I'll tell you what, and you know you you go to a doctor, and the doctor says, "Your blood sugar's up. You got diabetes. You're born on diabetes. You need to change your diet. You need to do something different. You need to quit eating what you're eating. You need to start doing this." And it'll help. It'll help. But you know, we come to God, we pray, Lord, heal me. And the Lord says, well, how about considering doing this? What? What do you mean? What do you mean forgive them? You don't know what they did to me. He says, I don't. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Whether you're talking about spiritually, emotionally, or physically, unforgiveness and offense that you don't deal with is probably the most dangerous thing that you can ever deal with. It's more dangerous than walking around with a time bomb in your pocket and the timer set. It's more dangerous than sleeping in the bedroom with two king cobras crawling around loose. And we've got to start to understand that kind of thing. You want your life changed? Start changing your life. Amen. And we need to quit blaming everybody else for our problem. Here's the prayer list. Alicia Burgess, Jody Cooper's mom. Tim called me this morning. That's the reason they're not here today. They had to go to, they're in Lexington. Her mom's in the hospital. Emily Sargent family, our neighbor out on Rock Hill Road. Patrick Beasley's in Afghanistan. Johnny Glenn Kirksey is in Afghanistan. Judy and Mike McCombs for Salvation. Sherry and Ron Domack for Salvation. Ann Newby for healing. Alice Jackson for healing. June Saylor, healing. Angela Porter, issues with high blood pressure. Wanda Estes. Gary Sapp. Brenda Thrasher for healing. Christine Rice. Sandy Aiken. Sheila Fausto. Clinus McClister. Phyllis Montgomery. Ken Babcock and Jerry Babcock. Well, just a minute. Anybody have another name you want to add? Vivian? Well, no, that's both sheets. Is there another sheet? Anything back there? No, that's all the names. That's all we got. Jeannie? Okay, Buddy Wall. Merrill? Greg Corbin? Did I see another hand? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And Wanda Cunningham. Christine Rice. And Brenda Thrasher. Yeah, she's on there. Yeah, they're there. We didn't read them? Or you didn't hear us? Did we read Brenda Thrasher and Christine Rice? We read it then anyway. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you this morning as the creator, the sustainer, the giver of all good gifts, and the one that desires, Lord God, that we prosper and be in health. But it says, even as our soul prospers, even as our thinking changes, even as our attitudes. And Father, I thank you that you care enough about us that you'll confront us with the truth. And I pray, Lord God, that we will be willing to accept the truth for ourselves. That we, Lord God, will be willing to submit ourselves to you. And Heavenly Father, I thank you that as we come before you, these names have been brought up before you. As we lay our hands upon this list, Lord God, I pray that which is necessary in order to bring them to wholeness will begin to happen in their lives. Lord God, some of them we have no idea really who they are. We don't personally know them. But you do. You know, Lord God, what it takes. You know, Lord God, what's necessary. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to move in their behalf. And that as we look to you in faith and allow you to change us, allow you, Lord God, to instruct us, to give us your wisdom, your understanding, that you'll set us free. And that you'll set them free. And that you, Lord God, can revive, restore, renew. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. And Father, just help us to be open toward you. Not close ourselves off to where we've already made predetermined evaluations. But that we'll be open to you. Because God, any answer that we come to, if we left you out of it, it's probably wrong. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving us wisdom and direction. You said if we lacked wisdom, let us ask. So we ask, Lord God, for the wisdom that's necessary to walk in the blessings of your covenant, to prosper and be in health. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, this morning for what we're going to hear. We thank you, Lord God, for being with the classes, the children, the preschool group. Thank you for ministering to them. Thank you, Lord God, for letting your anointing flow through the internet and touching the people that are listening this morning, wherever they might be. Let them receive, Lord God, a word from you that'll change their lives. And Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, preschool, nursery, and children's church can be dismissed. And I'm going to introduce to you someone that I just met yesterday. And I don't know, I don't know what the plans are, but I know that there's two of them, Bill and Diane Conklin, that work with the Be In Health Ministries, and they're from Traverse City, Michigan. But it's just a lighthearted thing. I really don't have anything against Michigan. Can't help it. My son lives in Columbus, Ohio. But I'm going to introduce Bill, and he's going to share with us this morning some life-changing stuff, if you'll let it. Brother Bill.
Well, thank you, Pastor Gerald, Pastor Laverne. Sure is good to see a heart that's full of life, a church that, very friendly, very open, and very willing to see a new person, and you come up and you just talk to and say hello to Diane and I like you have. We appreciate it. First of all, I think maybe with Pastor Gerald asking forgiveness of each of you, I think maybe we should collectively or out loud choose to say whether we're going to forgive him or not. So, one, two, three, we forgive you. It's refreshing to Diane and I as we go across the country, typically in the northern half of the United States to do conferences, to come across a pastor who has a heart to model what we should be doing as the body of Christ. Asking forgiveness. It's we don't see it very many places. But when we see it, we know it's a place where God's going to begin to move, and all of you in this church is going to grow and prosper. And then everyone around you is going to say, Nola, what's happened to you? Lighty, I know something's happening to you. Even to Bob, I know something's happening to you. You know, just to hear May say this morning how much she appreciates this church. And everyone's so friendly. You have planted in this family. You can call it a church all you want, but it's a family. And we should all act inside the church like a family. And the best thing for any family is is to get real and honest so things don't fester. Because if they fester, they get ugly. And if they get ugly, then all of a sudden we start avoiding one another. And we begin avoiding one another, all of a sudden then the talk could start coming about, did you hear what he did? Did you hear about? And that's one of the worst things that could happen inside a family, is the talk. Because it gives, as I've said throughout the weekend with Diane, there's two kingdoms that are alive and active in the world. There's the kingdom of Satan, which rules, and he rules the body of sin. And there's God Almighty that rules the body through Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. So if we have the fruit of the Spirit operate in our life, which is kindness, gentleness, temperance, long-suffering, faith, we're going to have a lot of peace in the family. But if we're listening to the body of sin, we're going to see the fault. We're going to see perhaps color. We're going to have perhaps see culture or nationality. And we're not going to see a child of the King. Because God made us all. I don't care if you're black, purple, pink, blue, green, or whatever color you are. He made us all in His image and likeness. And if I say something ugly about somebody, I'm not saying something ugly to them. I'm saying, God, you sure don't know what you're doing. And I don't think as Christians that go someplace called church would be bringing a whole lot of blessing, honor, and glory to the Lord God Almighty. Any time that we find fault with a brother or a sister, you say, well, I don't intend that, but you're turning around and saying that God didn't know what he did when he made so-and-so. And really, he's not a very good creator. I don't think he would like that. That's called, when I do that, that's called sin. Because I'm blaming him for something that he didn't do. He made us all very good in the garden when it said in Genesis 2, when he made Adam and Eve, he made us, mankind, very good. So if we try to tear down somebody, no matter what they look like, how they act, we're minimizing and trying to destroy what he created very good. So if we go about trying to destroy, minimize what he made very good, then we are agreeing with the body of sin, which is the thief in John 10:10, who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't show up in front of any one of us. I'm going to destroy you today. Because he doesn't have a body. All he can do is plant schemes, devices, plans, and get people to agree with him so I can get my brother Jack to fester something against you, and all of a sudden working through brother Jack, he starts not telling you nothing. He starts telling the people over there about something about you. Then all of a sudden, if he gets people to agree, they start backing away from you, and you start realizing, maybe there's something wrong with me. Honey, what do you think? I don't feel very loved. And if it keeps long enough, you start getting some thoughts from that kingdom. Well, maybe I should just kind of just walk away. Maybe I should just end it all. No one loves me anyway. And that's how the enemy works. It gets inside somebody to begin the old division, to begin the strife, the contention, the gossip, to destroy somebody else. That's the whole thing behind bigotry, racism, prejudice. Somebody got listening to the wrong voices and started agreeing with them. And it brings a wedge, and it brings destruction. And the thief, John 10:10, wins because he gets to steal, kill, and destroy, using the very creation, the very creatures that Father God created and made very good. And then he then sits back and says, ha-ha, see, you should have been worshiping me all along because I know things a whole lot better. We got to know who to blame. The body of sin, Satan and his evil spirits, on assignment to destroy mankind. And we got to know who to glorify. The Lord God who made you and I and all of his creation very good. And when we fail to see the age-old battle between the two kingdoms, sometimes we choose poorly. But nonetheless, our encouragement as we come alongside you with Pastor Laverne and Pastor Gerald, Bob and Ron and Barb, who invited us here, they saw when they heard us in Louisville just about a year ago, March last spring, called us and asked, would you come down not too far from Lexington down to Columbia? I said, Barbara, Ron, if you get a group together, we'll be there. And the group that we have been sharing with, I don't mind telling you that it's probably the most open group that we've had in the last couple of years doing conferences. We do 15, 16 conferences every year. So over the last 30 conferences, you have a special group of people down here in this area of Kentucky. Open hearts, willing to learn. You got a good family group. And there's probably people out there in the highways and byways that you haven't met yet. But with the type of hearts that you have, when you get to see them and meet them, they're going to want to be around you and they're going to want to be in this church. Because you folks modeled the heart of Laverne and Gerald. You have good hearts. And Father God looks upon the heart. He doesn't look on the looks. He doesn't look on all the things that you do. He looks upon the heart. And so Diane and I are blessed just to have been invited down here to share with y'all. But to get to know you has been even better. You see, I was in church all my life, but it was through religion and you just do certain practices. In 1994, I got radically saved, and when I mean radical, I was going this direction, and sincerely, I started going in that direction for God. Full out, sold out for Jesus Christ. A lot of people didn't like me. A lot of people didn't want to be around me. But you know what? When I was living like this, not a whole lot of people liked me, and not a whole lot of people wanted to be around me. And so really, I was just choosing the right battle, and it really didn't matter anymore if I'm going this way, because at least inside, I knew that it was the right way. I didn't care about what you thought. But Diane and I, or at least I had to cut my teeth on Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and Jerry Seville and the faith preachers that, you know, really, it's where the rubber hits the road. You either believe the word of God or you're just flapping your gums and going through the motions. And if you're going to believe, then you got to put it into practice. And I know this church is rooted and grounded on that. But Diane and I were praying for folks, and this is what caused a hunger inside me to know more of the real roots of issues and to look a little bit deeper as to what's behind the root when we go to pray for folks. A lady was in a car accident. She damaged her C4, C5 vertebrae, and she was always in pain. Doctor said there couldn't do anything other than take more Vicodin or Demerol and to ease the pain. We were praying for her, and Diane was praying out loud, and I had my hand on her back, and I was praying in the Spirit. And I was praying in the Spirit, I heard Mother. And so then when I kept going and I heard Mother again, I stopped and I said, Christine, why am I hearing Mother? She said, I hate my mother. And she went on to explain that her mother didn't protect her and keep her safe from some abuse at the hands of an uncle or a father, I don't remember. And then she told her mother, and her mother didn't believe her. And so the accident was truly an accident, but the reason why it lodged and stayed instead of healed and get restored is because she opened the door. Proverbs 26:2 is something that you may not consider, and it's not talked a lot, but as the bird by flying and the swallow by wandering, so the curse without a cause will not come. Which means, so the curse with a cause will come. See, Satan is a legalist. You know, if he can see a legal right where he can slip in somewhere, he'll do it. And he's looking for the door to be opened. We're the ones that choose to open the door or not, but he has agents on assignment to get us to agree with them to open the door. Was that wrong, and was that something, that abuse that occurred to her, was that something she was asking for? No. Was that something that robbed her innocence? Yes. Was that of God? No. So who slipped in using that man as an agent of that kingdom? That kingdom slipped into him through somewhere in the generations where he thought it was okay to be messing with a young lady, believing the wrong and agreeing with the wrong voices, not God, but from Satan himself and his kingdom, slipped in and did, because he has a free choice and a free will, doing things not of God, but of the enemy. And now we have a victim. Now the victim doesn't know, and no one taught and told her and taught her when she was a little girl that that was from the enemy. It wasn't from God. In our talking, she said, I even blamed God back in the day. I know better now, but I did then. She chose to forgive her mother after about a year of showing the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us of our wrongs, debts, trespasses, depending upon how you interpret it, as conditionally in the same manner that we forgive others. And on the bottom of Mark 11:26, which in the NIV isn't there, it's okay. We stand on the King James, and I'd rather have you reading the word instead of getting into a debate or a argument over what translation to read. The Amplified's fine, but in Mark 11:26, which is in the very hallmark of the faith teachings, is when you say to the mountain, be thou removed, and speak to it without doubt and without believing what you say that you will have what is it that you have? Bill's translation. And if you forgive, and when you forgive others, God will forgive you in the same manner. The harmony of scriptures. We need, and here this is Bill's heart. I know what I have done wrong. I know where I have harmed with my words and my tongue the very people that I cherish with my life. I love them so dearly, and I'm the one that scarred them with the words, impatient, critical. Seeing the little that they would do wrong that didn't necessarily line up with my way of thinking. And I take them out with my words. But my Father God, He forgave me. Because 1 John 1:9 says He, if we ask Him for forgiveness, He is just and willing to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm very mindful all the time of what He has forgiven me. So therefore, me giving a little bit of forgiveness away to somebody else is actually nothing. And if you look at that in the same perspective, when Pastor Gerald talks to you about the teaching on the master and servant, he didn't believe that he was forgiven of the $19 million debt. That's why he choked the guy when he saw the guy that owed him $17. Choked him, called the guards and told him to go into prison. And the master calls that servant in and says, you wicked servant, I forgave you of a $19 million debt. Why couldn't you forgive him of 17 bucks? And he threw him into prison to be tormented by the tormentors, to be tormented by that kingdom. I don't want that happening to me. I know what I've been forgiven of. And I embrace that forgiveness. And I thank God every day. So when I come up here, like with you, I don't just raise my hand and sing songs. I know from the pit of hell that He delivered me out of, in the torment that I was in, and I don't want to go back. And if you can keep that perspective, who to blame, who to stay away from, and who to serve and who to glorify, your life's going to be a whole lot better. This family's going to grow. Your individual family, sir, is going to grow. You have your son here with you. And I love to see young men and young women who choose to come before God. Because that means He's got plans for you. You just be listening. And don't shrink back. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. It matters what's in your heart. And He'll use your heart. He'll use all of our hearts. And the last thing is all the autoimmune diseases. I'll finish with this. All the autoimmune diseases are basically the white corpuscles attacking the body because we're attacking ourselves. Out there in the world, we see a lot of stuff. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So when you have people that may have said unkind things to you, about you, even people within the family, don't take them to heart and don't take them in and don't let them fester inside your body, because it'll cause your white corpuscles to go up and down your body. And as a man, as a woman thinks in your heart, in his heart, in her heart, so she'll become. So if you then can't take a compliment, Nola, you're looking good, and I really appreciate all the time you spent at the registration table. You're a fine lady. Lady, you're precious. talk to Jack, talk to somebody else, and you say, oh, no, it's all right. It's, you know, I'm not that. I can't. Very hard to take a compliment. Then guess what happens? Our metabolism could slow down. Serotonin isn't released from our hypothalamus. And if it continues, because those are the early warning signs, all of a sudden the white corpuscles start to attack good tissue in our body. And that's not God. It's us being a violator or not being a doer of the word, where he says, "The love of the Lord your God, love your neighbor as you love yourself." And that's not emphasized enough in the church. Not that you're prideful, not that you're arrogant, but you got to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You made me unique. And if you're real unique, real unique. I'm not like anybody else. Praise the Lord. It'd be a pretty ugly world if we were all rubber stamped looking alike and acting alike. Praise God, we got a little color, we got a little flavor, we got a little rhythm. Don't be looking to the white folks to have no rhythm, phone. We don't got it. But we can learn a little bit from some of our brothers and sisters. But that's your attitude. God made you. He says, you're my precious. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And that's what we men... Here's the encouragement to the men. Three times, God's word is recorded in, Father God's word is recorded in the Bible. Two of the three times, he said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." So if I can use you, this is your assignment, whether you said it or whether you didn't, I don't care. From now on, you are my beloved son, and I am well pleased in you. Every man, I don't care how old your son is, you grab that boy and you say, you tell him, you are my beloved son, and I am well pleased in you. And both Pastor Gerald and Laverne will help you and restore your broken heart. Some of the older folks that never heard their father say that to you. Some of the ladies that may not have heard their father say that to you. And there's a breach. There's a broken heart somewhere in that little girl. They know how to take care of that issue now. And they're going to want to get you to know that from the foundations of the world, Father God knew you and he loved you. And he's got a plan for you. And when you tap into him to hear what that plan is, that plan for your life is going to be remarkably wonderful. And you're going to be men and women of peace. Shalom. And when you understand the word shalom, that's everything possibly anybody would ever want. That's who you are. Just be mindful. There's a body of sin with that kingdom out looking for a way to get in. No more telephone calls talking with Aunt Bertha, Sister Marie, Sister Ethel. "Well, did you hear what happened the last few days over there at that place?" "No, tell me." "Well, I got to tell you about Susan and Helen and what they did." "What did they do?" "Well, they did this." "No, they didn't." "Yeah, they did, and they did this. And they did this." But because you've heard just a little bit of this, you say, "Sister Ethel, I'm not talking about anybody anymore. Can you tell me about what God's done in your life? I want to tell you about God. I don't want to listen about one of my neighbors, because I want to be delivered of that gossip and slander and talking about somebody." "What? Who do you think you are? You're Miss Self-Righteous?" "No, I'm just a woman that wants to follow God and not follow you. Is that okay?" I encourage you, because I know that's one of the major problems in the Church of America. We got way too much time talking about others and seeing the speck in their eye and not regarding the plank in our own, which is the open door for vision problems. We need to be clear in our vision, steadfast in our faith, rooted and rounded in the love of Father God Almighty. And if anything ever interferes with that, we're going to say, uh-uh, not today. So I'll close with this. Let's just break and repent, all of us, for entertaining an unloving spirit and a spirit of death and destruction that's been trying to slip into this place. We're going to repent of it. We're going to kick it out and say, not in this temple, not in this place, not in our homes. If you would like to, if you could just repeat after me. Father God, I repent and ask your forgiveness for entertaining in my thought life, in my speech life, an unloving spirit. Spirits of rejection. Spirits of I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. I'm sorry, Lord, for accusing you that you didn't make me very good. I renounce these spirits, these thoughts. In my life, I come out of agreement with them and in the generations of my family, on both sides, all the way back to Adam and Eve. No longer to influence me, this body of Christ, nor my children, nor my children's children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to do this and just kind of don't hold yourself tight. Just kind of keep your hands kind of open. And we're just going to command them all to leave. I just take authority over each and every one of these foul spirits that have been tried to plague and influence and torment you. By the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command every foul, unloving spirit of self-rejection, self-pity, low self-esteem, low confidence, I'm no good, I don't measure up, someone else is better than me, I rebuke you and I command you to leave my brother, my sisters, this place. This land on which this church sits, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you have no right to stay. And every foul spirit of rejection, and every foul spirit of condemnation and shame, causing you to focus on your faults and your shortcomings, get out, leave, each of us now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you have no right to stay. And your power over these men and women, this body of Christ, is broken and severed. Leave now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I conclude and I thank you, Father God, for it says in your word in Luke 11, that if I by the finger of God cast out an evil spirit, know ye this, that the kingdom of God has come upon you. And Father God, I thank you that the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, comes upon each and every one of these individuals and fills them to overflowing with the abundance of your love and the abundance of your truth, so they can go forward to serve you, to follow you, and to build the body of Christ in and around Columbia in a powerful, amazing, wonderful way. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Okay. Amen. And I do break the curse. Okay. Father God, I repent and ask your forgiveness for entertaining a spirit of death and destruction through entertaining those unloving spirits in the generations of my life and in my life. I sever all ties with the spirit of death and destruction over my life, over my children, and over this body of Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I do take authority over every foul spirit of death and destruction that would think they would have a legal right to come in here and mess with each or any of you. I rebuke you and I command you to leave. Each of them now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get off this body of Christ and get off this church. Leave now and take your dastardly deeds with you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we laid the foundation of, you know, identifying the spirit world realities and knowing how to separate ourselves, which is, let's say, May, right? Let's say I was to say something unkind to you, and you would that have every right to feel poorly about me. What we laid the foundation yesterday in is, you can continue to love me and forgive me, but you're going to hate the stuff that's influencing me that spoke those unkind words to you, which is an unloving spirit. So therefore, when somebody does something poorly to you, says something wrong to you, you can forgive the person when everything inside you is raging, saying, you don't want to, that was horrible, they had no right to say it. It wasn't them. They, because of their generations or because of the world, they were only parroting what that kingdom was using them on the end of a string to say to take you out. You're not going to let them take you out anymore, May. You're going to say, oh, Bill, God bless you. You have a good day. And you know I forgive you too. And then you just, okay, can I show you a visual? If somebody slimes you with, you don't know what you're doing. I can't believe that you two think that you're all thump-a-da-ba-da, and it's just ugly and foul. You say, you have a good day now. And as they walk away, you're going to be doing this. I wiped that slime off me that he tried to put on my face, tried to put on my mind. I wipe it off. I don't receive it. And God bless him, because he doesn't know who he's listening to. But I know who he's listening to, and he's listening to them. And I'm not listening, and I'm not taking it in. Okay? So because we have that as a foundation, this afternoon we're going to talk about cancer, just about a spirit of cancer, and move right into a teaching on what is and how does a spirit of rejection talk to you. How it makes you feel, how it makes you react, think, act like, speak like, think like. And then we're going to repent of rejection as a principality, and the armor in which it trusts is about 63 spirits. And we're going to say, you don't have a right to influence me no more. Get out. And the reason why we do the teaching, because now, like anything, folks, if you kick out an evil spirit influence, and you don't know how it got there, it's coming back with 7 times worse real soon. So we don't ever want to kick out anything without you having an understanding. So we're just going to do the one on rejection. We got all the books and the other ones on the other stuff, but primarily so we can do one teaching, rejection, and then we're going to actually minister to the roots of certain diseases to help people see some stuff in their life, give them resources to study to how to then keep it out of their life. Okay? That's kind of what we're going to do. This will probably start 1 to 1:30, 1:45 would be cancer. Take a break, and then we'll start teaching on rejection, repent of it, and go right into the ministry of praying for folks and their spiritual roots of diseases. Thank you, Pastor Jerry.
Thank you, Bill. And I know that, you know, like I said, we learned a lot yesterday, but I'm sure that you'd get something. If you didn't go yesterday, if you were able to go this afternoon, I'm sure that God's big enough to do something for you. Amen. But I hope you see that what is being said is that many of our problems find their root in our thinking and in our attitude. And how we feel about things. And you know, when John wrote in 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health." And too many people say, period. But it actually says that you may prosper. I wish, I would, I pray, it's my desire that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now that word soul there is not talking about the thing that we use when we say, well, you know, Jesus Christ is going to save your soul so you can go to heaven. The soul it's talking about there is the part of you that joins your spirit to your body. The will, emotions, and intellect. And it could be saying like this: "Beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health, even as you start to think right. Even as you start to understand what's going on." And, you know, there are people and they say, "God, I want to be healed. Heal me of this." Well, are you willing to change this? Well, what's that got to do with it? All right, my blood sugar is 400. Well, how many cakes do you eat a week? Well, about a half of one a day. Are you willing to quit eating those cakes? No. I want my blood sugar to go down, but I don't want to stop eating the cakes. So what do they have to do if you're not going to change your behavior? What do they have to do in order to offset the cakes? They have to give you a big bunch of insulin. And what's that do? It throws everything out of balance trying to offset what you're already dealing with. And we can see that in the natural. But why is it sometimes it's so hard to see in the spirit world? That the reason my stomach is tore all to pieces is because of the stress that I'm under because of what somebody said about me. Yeah. Well, are you going to forgive them? Well, I can't forgive them. How many times are you going to eat? Well, enough to stop the pain. Well, you're going to spend a lot of money on Tums because maybe if you stopped being bitter against them, if you stopped being offended at them, you'd stop having to take Tums. Well, Pastor, do you think there's a spiritual cause for everything? Yeah. More or less. Because everything that is proceeded from the spirit world. What we are now as flesh and blood bodies and as natural people comes out of what existed before that. Like I said, when I started out, the spiritual always supersedes the natural. Unless you're an evolutionist. And the reason you're an evolutionist is because you want to get God out of the picture. You just can't deal with God. Because evolution makes no more sense than creationism. It's just that the devil will let it make more sense because with it, he doesn't have to be concerned with God. Well, hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I would like for us to just help with expenses for being health and the blessing to Bill. And I know they've been receiving an offering up there, but they came and they gave their time to. And I hope what we've done and what I intended this to do was to whet your appetite and spark your thinking of saying, hey, God's got something good for me. I just got to find out where the track is and get on it. Amen. Let's stand. And it starts at 1. Is that when that's when 1 o'clock? That's about an hour and a half. Gives you time to eat. You don't go too far and eat too much. And Heavenly Father, there's so much to learn about your kingdom. So many things, Lord God, that twist us up and bend us out of shape and put us in pain because we listen to the enemy. Because we take to heart what he has to say. Because his opinion is more important than the Word of God. Some human is more valuable to us than God Almighty. But Lord God, I pray that we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free. And I thank you, Lord God, for blessing your people. Guide us and direct us in everything. May we find peace and strength in serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep in mind, it's in the bulletin, everything. No service here tonight. The offering container is on the table.